Tina Lee Grebin with Faithful Walk Healing Ministries. Hope everyone's doing good today. Today is Friday, August 7th of 2020, and I'm coming to you this afternoon with a quick word that the Lord has given me. This word is for everyone, but it is specifically pertaining to the leaders, the pastors of the Western Church, the churches here in America. But again, it is to anyone. But there was a scripture that the Lord gave me that is specifically regarding the leaders and the pastors in the American church. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started. So basically, the word that the Lord gave me recently, he spoke it to me in the wee hours of the morning, and he said it very clearly. He said to me that he was about to deafen and blind those who had rejected his warning. Again, I'll repeat that. He said, I am about to deafen and blind those who have rejected my warnings. Okay. And those warnings have been warnings that have been in the signs in the heavens. They have been warnings through prophetic voices. People that are known, people are unknown. There's many people out here. There's many people that God has appointed as watchmen and then they're just your average people who have been given warnings for the church, for the body of Christ, for this country, for leaders, for the churches, for the government, for the nation, so on and so forth. And this has been going on for quite some time. We can go back several decades regarding these types of warnings. In the more recent years, it has been the people who are not so well-known, who are not so, you know, don't have certain platforms or mega churches, or haven't necessarily been on television or radio or anything of that nature, but just brothers and sisters in the Lord who love Jesus Christ, who have surrendered their lives to him, and God has given them dreams, he's given them visions, he's given them prophetic words. They may have put these things out on YouTube, they may have put it out on social media like Facebook or other outlets that are out there, to give to people. They may have even spoken it in their churches or within personal groups or Bible studies or prayer lines or conferences or whatever the case may be. But that's more in the recent years. God is, which he said he would do, he would raise up the no names, so to speak, or the unknown would be the ones that he would use mightily in this season. But nevertheless, I'm seeing all of that to say is that there have been many warnings. Warnings to the church, warnings to this nation, warnings regarding the time that we're in, the season where we're in, warnings of judgment, impending judgment if we did not repent of our sins. And again and again and again and again, it has been ignored. It has been pushed to the back burner, so to speak, swept under the rug. People have come out and counterfeited those words by putting out words of blessings, words of good times, of peace and safety even. And the Lord is saying now he is about to deafen and blind those people. So when he's talking about deafening and blinding those people, let me just say this in regards to this. Does this mean physical? It could mean that of physical as well. I've heard a report that I'm not going to go into detail regarding someone recently who had gone into a church. And this person was, basically giving out false prophecy. And when I heard about this particular person, the Lord had spoke to me and let me know that judgment was coming to this particular person. And this person later on became physically injured while they were traveling and is currently, last I heard, was setting up in the hospital. And the reason why, and even that was an act of mercy, because Christ could have easily allowed that person to perish or die and die in their sins. Even they would have ended up in hell, literally. But even the fact that they were just stopped in their tracks, but their life was spared, is still a sign of mercy. We have to understand that. And I've said this before again and again, that within God's judgment is he's merciful. The judgment is a chastisement. It's to get us to wake up. It's a chastening to say, listen, you're headed down the wrong path. I've been telling you, you've headed down the wrong path. You've rebelled again and again and again. And so At this point, the Lord is fed up, I guess, is really what it boils down to. So, but the blinding and the deafening that he's talking about is more pertaining to the spiritual aspect of the situation. So what does that mean? To be spiritually blind and to be spiritually deafened, we can talk about a few things with that. It can mean a spirit of a reprobate. We find that a couple of times in the Old Testament. A reprobate spirit fell on King Nebuchadnezzar that left him in the wilderness, living like a wild animal for 7 years. In a way, a reprobate spirit fell on King Saul, even though the scripture tells us that the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul on that day, and it was replaced with a tormenting spirit. Okay, so we find this with the word reprobate multiple times in the scripture. And so it's a sensing that it's almost like when a person loses their sensing of where they're at. They think they're operating in righteousness, let's say, or they think they're okay with God, but they're not. And so there's a blindness and a deafness that comes over that person spiritually when they continue in their rebellion. God allows them to be sealed off. Another really good scripture, and a lot of people steer away from the book of Revelation because people, most of the time it's because people don't understand it, and it's because they haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to be their teacher to give them revelation, because revelation means to reveal, but also too, because for a lot of times it just scares people. But there is a scripture and a revelation that talks about a time where basically people get locked in. They talk about those who are going to remain. Let the just remain unjust. Let the filthy remain. Let the unjust remain unjust. Let the filthy remain filthy. Let the righteous continue in their righteousness, and let the holy stay in holiness. So there's a locking in that particular instance, and what they were, what John was referencing in the book of Revelation, a type of locking in. So the Lord is giving this warning in this season, saying that those who have continuously ignored the warnings, okay, and God has been gracious with his warnings, especially for this country. He has been gracious about his warnings. He's gone high and low, and I have personally witnessed how even when there are, you know, certain people reach certain types of people, okay? Like there are certain people, certain types of people that listen to this particular YouTube channel or ministry or what have you, but we don't reach everybody. You know, everybody doesn't necessarily listen to women. Everybody doesn't. People may even look at the color of my skin and they may say, well, I don't want to hear her, you know, or what have you. I mean, it happens. And so what God is doing, there's this variety of people, I mean, even children, that God has been showing warnings to the youth. He's been giving it to the women. He's been giving it to the young, to the old. He's been giving it to the men, you know, because some men only listen to men. I mean, it's an unfortunate truth that men will close their ears to anyone that isn't another man as far as God speaking. But God is so merciful and so gracious. He's given these vast warnings to so many people to say, wake up. And I have myself personally witnessed people purposefully closing their ears and blinding their eyes because they want to believe that we are in good times, and or they want to believe that, you know, specifically America is on the brink of the greatest revolution, the greatest revival, the greatest all of this stuff. And we are actually in the midst of judgment. Because we haven't repented, because of our sins, because of the church. And we could go on and on and all day about that, but I'm not going to go there in reference to that. So again, God's warning is that those who have continued to ignore his warnings, his pleas even, you know, because the scripture tells us that God does not delight in seeing that any of us perish. Okay, he does not want us to perish. He doesn't want to see us fall into the hands of the enemy. He doesn't want to see us in hell. He doesn't. But we have to choose him. We have to freely choose him. And if we choose to not walk in holiness, if we choose not to surrender to righteousness, then we have to pay the consequences of our choices. The word of God tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so that is where we're at. And so the scripture that the Lord had given me is a scripture that a lot of you probably know. He gave me Ezekiel chapter 34 in reference to this. And I'm going to read a little bit of that to you. Then I'm also going to tell you one more thing that the Lord gave me the same night that he told me about the spiritual blindness and deafness that is about to fall upon basically the children of rebellion. I'm going to read a little bit out of the New King James Version of Ezekiel chapter 34 so you kind of get an understanding of what God is saying. He gave me this chapter, and again, in reference to this warning. So let's start again in verse 1, and you can read along if you like. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them." And I'm going to just pause right there. So what is really interesting is that, you know, we've had COVID this year, and a lot of us are still going through that. A lot of us are still in types of quarantine, partial lockdowns. There's all of this fighting amongst us here in America, I will specifically say. We probably have the most fighting in out of all the world within this country. But one of the unique things that has happened and transpired is how this quarantine has shut down a lot of the churches, a majority of the churches, and the church building, let me put it that way. And I know there's been a lot of controversy regarding that, but I remember when the Lord had given me a word regarding this pandemic, back in March of this year, he said he would use this pandemic to judge the house of the Lord. He would use it to judge the world, to judge the nations, and he would use it to judge the house of the Lord. And so that's what has transpired in all of this. And we've had all these various things that people have been debating about whether or not churches should be opened or they should be closed. But one of the things the Lord had given me 7 years ago was that everyone who had a building would be forced to conform to the government at some point. This was a word that the Lord gave me back in 2013. It actually was on a video that the Lord had given me some time ago. And I talked about that then, and here we are 7 years later, and we are dealing with that exact situation. And now we have pastors who have defied the laws, said that they've opened up. I know one particular pastor, pretty famous, actually said that he was going to defy the laws and open up the church because he claimed that there has to be a way. We have to reach the lost. We have to reach the sick and the hurting. But you don't need a building to reach the sick and the hurting. You can stand out on the street corner and reach the sick and the hurting. I mean, and that's the truth. A quick testimony about a week and a half ago, myself, I was out on my way to a post office, and long story short, I ended up ministering to this homeless man under a tree. It was hot. It was 95 degrees out. It was scorching, actually. We sat on an electrical box, and I ministered to this young man who was homeless, a 17-year-old who run away from foster care, and a 58-year-old man who had been on the street over 20 years, and led him to Christ, gave him a Bible, all of that, sat under that tree near the bus stop for 40 minutes. You don't need a building, faith, to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus wasn't in the building. In fact, the building that he did go into, the synagogues and temple, they kicked him out. Jesus was not in a building. Paul was not in a building. James and John and Peter were not in buildings, okay? And we've been conformed to believing that we have to be in a building to be in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is within you. This is why Paul said us, told us in the scriptures, do you not know that your temple, your body is a temple of the Lord? So if you are the temple of the Lord, it's not just about not defiled, and as far as sin is concerned, it's understanding that you have become the tabernacle. This is why Christ left when he left the temple after entering, after making his grand entrance on what we call Palm Sunday, you know, he changed out the money exchanges or what have you, but he said to them, he said, "You will not see me here again until you cry, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So in this sense, Jesus left the building that day. I mean, you know how they always have the saying about Elvis leaving a building? Jesus left the building on that day, and he did not enter back in. In fact, later on, we know that the temple was destroyed by Rome in 70 AD. And so we have missed this concept. We have this misunderstanding that we have to be in a building. And so God, even using this quarantine to close the doors to these buildings so that we would learn to abide in the secret place of the Most High. And in this season when we've been in quarantine, we haven't even done that. We've murmured and complained. We've protested. We've risen up against, we've defied orders and laws. And we've watched a million videos on conspiracy theories. We've OD'd on social media, and we're not withdrawing ourselves from that which is distracting us from spending time with the King of Kings. Instead, we found more distractions. Okay, so I want to continue in verse 5. It says, "So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they being the sheep, and they became food for the beasts of the field." When they were scattered, "My sheep wandered through all mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them." So a very dire warning the Lord is saying. Again, in a combination of those who have been ignoring these warnings, they're not, one of the things the Lord had given me a few years ago, he was telling me, he says, "My shepherds are not preparing my sheep for my return." And they're not. We're talking about good times. We're talking about, we have this, you know, hyper grace. We have all this prosperity blessings. And then when it's time to pray, when it's time to cry out, when it's time to repent, we're only doing it so that we can heal our land. You know, we're not understanding that we are in the end of the age, that everything that is here is passing away. And so we want to quote that God will heal our land. But really the motive behind even quoting that is so that we can just keep our stuff, so that we can continue living our lives, so we can continue buying our houses and our boats and sending our kids off to college and, you know, stocking up on our 401ks and our IRAs and playing the stock market. You know, we want to hear about good times coming so that we can continue in our stuff. And God is stripping away the stuff, saints. The stuff is going away. It's going up in smoke even as we speak. Because God is saying, the first commandment that was given to Moses is, "Thou shalt not have no other gods before me." And the majority of the time when we think of that, we think of you know, idols of Buddha or totem poles or Hindu gods or something, you know, pictures or graven images, which that's the second commandment. But anything can be an idol, saints. I want you to understand that. Anything can be an idol. Anything that has taken place of Christ and God the Father being first and foremost in your life. And that can be your job, your child, your spouse, your education, your career, your bank account. It can be whatever, okay? But that is the first commandment, because God is a jealous God. And he said, "Thou shalt not have no other gods before me." And even, and I'll even break it down. Some of us idol churches. Some of us are idol church buildings, especially if they're big, pretty buildings. You know, we're proud that we're a part of this church or this well-known group of people or this well-known pastor. We have these click modes. We get into these cliques, you know, we're groupies or what have you. And we like to attach our names to things. And so God sees all of this. He searches the hearts, saints. He searches. He said, I try the hearts and the motives of men is what he says in his word. And so he searches our secret place, our inner parts, as he tells us, looking to see what's the truth. We can say all day long what we can speak with our mouth and we can claim that we love Christ and we can claim that we're doing this for one reason. But God sees the true motives of our heart, the true subconscious lining of our hearts, our minds, our emotions, our motives, everything that we do. And so, again, the Lord is giving a warning, a dire warning to the church and to its leaders. And those who, and I'll even take this step further, and to the leaders who have spoken out against those who have been anointed by God to warn, because there are those who have spoken out, and I know they try to be very nice about it. Some of them are not nice about it. Some of them are flat out mean and ugly about it. But then there are those that try to nicely say, well, that person didn't hear from God. Well, I'm sorry, that person may have intended well. They may have had good intentions, but they, and they're using it because they know within their pride, well, God said, you know, America is great, or God said America, and I'm telling you right now, to those shepherds who have not only deafened their, stopped up their own ears and closed their own eyes to the warnings, but in addition to that, who have spoken out against those watchmen, whether they be male or female, young or old, majority or minority, it doesn't matter. Those who have spoken out against them, the Lord is saying that judgment is at your heels. Judgment is at your door this day, unless you repent, unless you cry out and repent, judgment has come to your door this day. And so this is a very serious and dire warning, saying, because again, judgment has come to the house of the Lord, okay? And this is a season where we have to be sold out to Jesus Christ no matter what, no matter what. But like I've said many times, if you are struggling to live for Christ today, you will not be able to die for him tomorrow. You won't, okay? One of the last thing that the Lord had given me the same night that he said that he was about to blind and deafen those who were ignoring his warning, another thing, I had a vision as well, and I saw on a piece of paper the word lawmakers written out on it. And as I was seeing this, I saw it very clear. It was like it was being written out in black ink, okay, in front of me, and it looked like it could have been even calligraphy. The Lord spoke to me, and he said this. He said, there are going to be laws that are about to be passed, and I need you guys to hear me on this. There are laws that are going to be passed that are going to even more reduce freedom of speech, but that it is really going to be targeted towards the Christian. Okay? So I'll repeat that again. There are laws that are about to be put in place or passed, okay? Because I saw the word lawmakers clear as day in front of me. And this is what the Lord said. These laws that are going to be passed are going to further reduce, because we already, in a sense, have been getting, or witnessing, I should say, persecution for freedom of speech. We've seen it on social media. We've seen it on the news. We've seen it in various cases where people are not able to freely speak out against something or stand for their own personal rights without it being deemed racist or hate speech or biased or prejudiced or whatever the case may be. Okay, especially when it comes to sin. Especially when it comes to sin. And I'm not just talking about color of people's skins or what have you, because none of us should be prejudiced. None of us should be racist, okay? We all came from the same exact God. He created all of us. the high and the low. He created us all, okay? But I'm talking about the when it specifically comes against sin. We cannot speak against sin without it being deemed people who are in hate speech these days, okay? And so we've already seen a degree of that, but there is more laws that are coming that are going to more suppress our freedom of speech. And again, the Lord said it was specifically going to impact the Christian. So in other words, it is going to challenge our faith. It is going to challenge our beliefs. And this is the opportunity, saints, where we have the opportunity to rise up. Okay. And when I say rise up, I'm not talking about a revolt. I'm not talking about anarchy. Cause I see some Christians, you know, they're ignorant in the sense. And I don't mean that facetiously. You know, ignorance is a lack of knowledge. And some of the things that we're doing out here, they're just not okay. You know, we shouldn't be going into public places, for example. If the public place says, please, you know, wear a mask, and we're going into the facility and we're screaming and, you know, rebuking Satan and calling people devils and imps while you're walking up and down the aisle with no mask on, that, you know, you're not going to earn any kudos in heaven for that thing. I'm sorry. They're not, you know, even the Beatitudes says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And we didn't see Jesus out there. I mean, there were things that Jesus did that were controversial. That's true. But Jesus wasn't out there just stirring up trouble. He that's not who he was. Okay. He did it. You know, he operated, in truth. And he stood for truth when truth needed to be, when truth needed to be presented, he was truth, okay, in the midst of lies, in the midst of deception. But Christ was not one that was out starting riots and protesting. There was a group of people that did just that. They were called the zealots, okay? And even Jesus talked about dealt with the zealots. In fact, one of the disciples, Simon, was a zealot, and he left being a zealot and left his group of zealot brothers to come and follow Christ, okay? So, and Barabbas also was a zealot, and that's why he was thrown in jail for murdering a Roman. And so the zealots were patriotic, okay? Hear me out on that. They were patriotic. They believed in taking back their land and not being oppressed by the enemy. And they believed in voicing their opinions and protesting in the streets and even killing if they needed to. And that's not what Jesus was about. That's not what he came for. And I need you guys to understand that, because I see this kind of zealot mentality rising up in the church in this country with all of the laws and the agendas, okay, that are out there, because there's laws and there's agendas out there that is a form of suppression. But we need to understand that this stuff was written, okay? And when we look at the way the scripture talks about end time prophecy and how things are going to end, it's not a seven mountain takeover, saint, that ushers in the return of Jesus Christ. It's not. In fact, the scripture tells us that the Antichrist and his system is given the power to overcome the saints, it actually says. Okay, so this isn't some seven mountain takeover where we take over everything and we can put down the Antichrist, or we can change governmental prophecy and then usher in Jesus Christ's return. That is false. That is a lie. It is a lie straight from hell. It's deception. It's the very thing that Jesus said in the last days would happen. He said many would be deceived. And so we need to make sure that we are not being deceived by the enemy. And as God gives these words and these warnings, these prophetic visions and dreams and visions or what have you, I know I said that twice. As he gives that to us, we need to take heed to these things. We need to take them to prayer for confirmation. We need to take them to prayer for instructions, because that is how God wants us to deal with things in this season. He told his disciples, he said, be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. Okay. And when we look at the first century church, we find just that. I mean, they were being persecuted. They were being put in prison. They were being thrown into gladiator arenas. They were being crucified, decapitated, burned at the stake. And they still was a movement of the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands came to Christ. But they didn't take over in a sense. There wasn't a revolution in a sense by protesting. Okay, there wasn't a revolution by defying the government. They met in secret. They met in secret. I mean, that's where Maranatha was a code sign. You know, they used to draw the symbol of the fish and in the sand or in the ground, you know, as a code that they were followers of Christ. And in this 21st century, nothing is new under the sun. So as it began, so it shall end. So we need to take some hints from that. All right, Saints, so I'll leave you with that. God bless you all. Thank you so much for allowing me to spend this time with you this evening. Share this video with as many people as God places on your heart. Share with the leaders, especially those out there who maybe need encouragement, that they'll hold on, continue to hold on. There's a few leaders out there who have really surrendered to Christ and are preparing the sheep that God has entrusted them with for the coming of the Lord, for the times ahead. I want to encourage those, whether you're in a church building, whether you're in a home, whether you're in a small group, it doesn't matter. I want to encourage you to stand strong, to keep faith and be faithful until the very end, to love not your lives even unto death. But for those out there who have fallen into this category of Ezekiel chapter 34, my last words to you is repent. Repent and turn from your wicked ways so that God will have mercy upon you. God bless all of you all. Thank you for listening to us tonight. Until next time, God bless you. Shalom.